Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Hello, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome as our special guest State Senator Donna Nesselbush, a Pawtucket Democrat. Thank you for joining us, Senator.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
The House overwhelmingly passed a same-sex marriage bill last week, but the outlook remains unclear in the state Senate. The chamber is closely divided between supporters and opponents of same-sex marriage, with a small number of senators undecided. Senator Nesselbush, this issue is personal for you as an openly gay lawmaker. Tell us, where do you see this headed, and what do you believe will make the difference?
Well, Ian, it's clear that momentum is building. The President of the United States spoke of it in his inaugural address. The House overwhelmingly passed it by a two-thirds margin. I was very pleasantly surprised by the margin. And, you know, I think it's very honorable that the Senate President has promised a democratic process and a fair vote. And so, you know, I say to my colleagues, don't be on the wrong side of history. I see my colleagues as fair-minded people who really want civil rights for Rhode Island. And again, I think when the roll is called, we'll have the votes.
How about that point, Scott? We know that young people are a lot more supportive of same-sex marriage. Will there be a painful political backlash if the Senate does not approve same-sex marriage this year?
Well, I think obviously this happened last year in the House. What you're seeing is a newly energized electoral force in the state, and that is some of the younger, more progressive folks, particularly the Democratic Party. We saw how successful they were in primaries. I mean, they almost knocked Senator DePont out of office. And this is a very energized group. And I think what you're going to see is people who vote against this are going to be subject to primaries.
Maureen, where do you see this headed?
Well, the thing I'm interested in is that I applaud the vocal support of labor now for this vote. But people are speculating that there's a deal brewing. That is that the cost for this may be binding arbitration. They lost that last year. Gordon Fox would not take a vote on it in the House, as you know. And so the speculation is there's going to be a trade and collective bargaining. Binding arbitration is going to be the chip that makes the difference. What do you think, Senator?
I would say that for a second-term senator, that's too speculative for me to comment on. I don't know how it will play out. I think that the leadership has promised to vote on this issue. We will get the vote. And, you know, I think it's when I first took office, I met with Senator President Paiva-Weed, and she said, you know, there are votes of conscience in the chamber, and leadership really doesn't weigh in on those votes. I see this, and I think others do as well, as a vote of conscience, and I think that we will, we'll take the vote.
You know, but the other thing is that while it is a vote of conscience, and the Senate President has said she will step aside, I think the reality now is, given the coverage of this, that this is going to end up in her lap in the sense that she's going to be responsible one way or the other politically.
Horse trading at the General Assembly, who would think? But isn't that a real element to the equation here?
Well, there's always some of that going on. There's always kind of internecine warfare and rivalries between the House and Senate. And it would be nice if this legislation, as the senator just mentioned, was voted on its merits. It's not complicated. Everyone knows where they stand. It's not going to cost the state a lot of money. And it would be nice. But you have to understand one thing about the State House. It is not a debating society.
Well, in other news this week, Providence Mayor Angel Taveras used his State of the City address to describe the capital city's improved financial condition, and State Treasurer Gina Raimondo issued a midterm report outlining her accomplishments in office. Maureen, what is your sense of how these latest developments position these two most popular elected officials for their next political moves?
I think in both cases, it strengthens their hand. I think the mayor gave a very positive speech. He failed to mention the word taxes. He sort of left that out, but it came off very positively, and I think he's accomplished a great deal, and he deserves credit for it. Conversely, I understand why Treasurer Raimondo would certainly want to tout what she has done so far in terms of not only the office, but remind people of the stakes in terms of this huge pension case. And I think, she's at a disadvantage now when this case comes up and it gets more momentum. I think they're both credible candidates, and I think this was a smart move for both of them.
Senator Nesselbush, political junkies are already salivating about the 2014 gubernatorial race. We might see Governor Chafee, Treasurer Raimondo, Mayor Taveras, Democrat Ernest Almonte, as well as the Republican side of the equation. Do you have a favorite among those possible candidates?
You know, I have an open mind. I'm listening to the State of the City address and reading Gina Raimondo's report. And, you know, it's nice finally in Rhode Island that we have a number of clearly very good and competent candidates that can only be good for Rhode Island. As we all keep saying, it's about jobs, it's about the economy, and it's going to be about who has the best plan to get Rhode Island back to work.
Scott, we know that Rhode Island is perceived as a overwhelmingly Democratic state, but we haven't had a Democratic governor here in a long time. Do you think that'll change in 2014?
It really depends on what the landscape looks like. It's interesting to me that last time we elected a governor, an independent, former Republican, with just 36% of the vote, because essentially you had four candidates. It was like a big primary more than it was a general election. So I just don't know. I mean, the X factor here is Link Chafee. Does he decide to make this run again, or does he become a one-term wonder? And if he does, if there's a three- or four-way contest, who knows?
I think he's made it pretty clear that he intends to stay in the mix. I think he's talked about that in the media. So I think we can expect, yet again, another three- or four-way race. And in that sense, you know, it's anybody's guess, really.
Alan Fung's out there as a Republican, too.
Well, speaking of partisan politics, Republicans are now in Washington backing an immigration reform. They have reason to do this because of their poor performance with the growing national Latino community. Scott, what's your sense of how Democrats should use their leverage on this issue?
Well, you know, it's fascinating because if you look at what's happened here, this plan the president has laid out is pretty similar to what George W. Bush laid out when he won re-election in 2004, path to citizenship, guest workers, stronger border protection. So I think this is the one issue, because of the increasing electoral importance of Latinos, this is the one issue where there actually may be hope for bipartisanship and a bipartisan solution. It's interesting.
What do you think, Senator? Do you agree that there is a hopeful outlook for some bipartisanship on the immigration issue?
I do. I was heartened that the president is, you know, taking leadership on the issue. It appears that there's some momentum. And I think what Scott said is really interesting, that this plan is not all that different from what George W. Bush proposed. But what is so different is that we had the deplorable show of Republicans in the last election. And I think if they want to be a viable party of the future, they must know that the Latino population is the fastest growing minority group, and therefore the fastest growing number of newly registered voters. And if they want to have any ability to play in the field, they've got to come around on the issue.
It's particularly interesting that these newly emergent voters are going to be a real demographic ticking time bomb for them in red states like Texas, Arizona, all of the naturally conservative states.
And Maureen, we know that voters say they're really fed up with hyper-partisanship in Washington, and yet it still seems to prevail. Do you think that we could see wider areas of bipartisan cooperation following this?
Look, I agree with what has been said here. This is the one issue where they can at least appear to be, and indeed be, bipartisan, and they both desperately need it. I don't think the Democrats want to get into using leverage. I think they want to portray themselves and Congress as an institution that works. The thing I'm interested in is, what's going to happen when the pieces of this plan filter down to the state? Many people here have been against, for example, E-Verify. And a critical piece of this is going to be E-Verify. And so there's a huge sort of progressive liberal constituency that was against that. And so the way this reverberates in the state is going to be very interesting to watch.
Details remain scarce about why former RIPTA CEO Charles Odemwe is no longer in that job. Odemwe has received a severance package, but there hasn't been an explanation for why he's no longer CEO. Senator, do you think the public deserves a fuller explanation of what's happened here?
You know, Ian, I think what's more important is that we move forward. I mean, again, we talk about jobs in the economy. Rhode Island needs a public transportation system that works and works well. Rhode Island needs a stable funding source for that public transportation system. We need to get people from their homes to their jobs to recreation and home again. And I think we move forward, get somebody competent, and I'd like to just see that agency be turned around and work well.
Real quickly, Scott, why haven't we seen a detailed explanation of what's going on here?
Well, I think this is more of a management thing and not fraud or criminal or some of the stuff we've seen previously in Rhode Island government. It just seems that It was a dispute between the management and the board, and that's what happened.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Political Roundtable. Scott?
Great to be here, Ian.
Maureen?
Thank you.
And State Senator Donna Nesselbush?
My pleasure. Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.